Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're kind of bouncing around topics here, and that's okay. Let's conclude the Breece Hall, and then we'll talk more about the Chiefs in the division. One thing I think that NFL fans and media people don't understand are compensatory picks. For example, Rob, do you know what pick the Titans got for Derrick Henry? Because the Titans lost Derrick Henry in free agency, right? He signed with the Ravens. Do you know what pick the Titans got?
I'm going to guess it's low, so fifth round?
They didn't get one.
Oh, well, there you go.
You want to know what pick the Giants got for Saquon Barkley?
They not get one?
They didn't get one. Because it's a formula based on you signing players, you losing players. They then throw it all up into the pot, and then you go from there. So this notion that, A, if you're the Jets, that you are 100% going to get a compensatory pick for losing Breece Hall is not true. It's not true. You could get one, but what do you do in free agency? How active are you? Who do you sign? Who leaves your team? It is all part of a formula. So it is possible that the fourth round pick that they were reportedly offered for Breece Hall is the best possible compensation that they could have got. You could be left with nothing at the end of it. Now, I think that this signifies that they are going to sign him in the offseason. I don't know why you would turn down the fourth round pick if you've already made a decision that you're not going to pay him in the offseason. It would make sense to me if you're the Jets and you keep Breece Hall. You paid Garrett Wilson. You keep Breece Hall next year. You draft Ty Simpson in the top five. And now you have your foundation. You have your offense moving forward, and you feel fine about it. That would make sense to me. But when it comes to the Chiefs side of it, I'm just happy that the Chiefs are finally willing to admit that there is a problem. Because all offseason, we have known that they have a problem in the running back room. And they didn't really do anything about it. Now, no crying over spilled milk. What do you do about it? The only fix to me for the running back room between now and the end of the season is you got to figure out a way to get more from Rashard Smith than what you have. There is no more you can get from Kareem Hunt. There is no more, I think, in theory, that they can get from Isaiah Pacheco than what they already have. There's only one running back that we have no clue what his ceiling is and how he fits in their offense, and that's Rashard Smith. And I'm not talking about just using him and that Jerick McKinnon throw it to him out of the backfield. I mean trying to get him going as a runner and trying to get him more carries and trying to get him comfortable in the offense. Because aside from garbage time against the Raiders, they have never given you a chance to get going with Rashard Smith in the run game. He gets two carries here, three carries here. They don't give him the football. They don't give him opportunities outside of that. So if you want to talk about growth in the run game, where could growth come from? They've already determined that Elijah Mitchell does not play on the team. If they are looking for a change in the offense, to me, there's only one player that it can come from. It has to come from Rashard Smith. It has to come from them figuring out how to get more from him on the ground as a running back.
I mean, that's not only that the answer, that's what the Chiefs have decided. Or there's also this scenario. We both felt like Isaiah Pacheco was running better before his injury. We felt like he was starting to look like himself a little bit. Now, himself is not the most dynamic runner in the NFL. No one's going to confuse him for Saquon Barkley in his prime. But maybe Isaiah Pacheco's bill of health after missing the Bills game and now getting a week off is better than we anticipated. Maybe they feel like he can come back to form faster. So maybe it's Rashard Smith and they feel like a healthy Pacheco can get back to being the player that he used to be because he started to look like he was turning a corner. But outside of that, man, the solutions are thin because I don't think Kareem Hunt's a solution. I think he's just fine or less. Elijah Mitchell's not really a player, and that's kind of it. That's their bodies. So I think Pacheco maybe getting back to a more healthy version of himself could be part of this solution, but I also don't know his medicals, neither do you.
Yeah, I just, it feels to me like it has been over a year since you and I think that we've seen the old Isaiah Pacheco. I don't know if it's confidence. I don't know if it's the leg injury. I don't know what it is. But some of the conversations that we have, like, we were never talking about the Chiefs running it from shotgun 2 years ago. That was just not a thing now. Now I feel like because the run game doesn't work, we have now blamed it on the Chiefs running from shotgun, even though it's football in 2025, and everybody in the National Football League is running from shotgun. If your team can't run from shotgun, you are not an effective run team in 2025. That is just the way the offenses work today. So I feel like we are trying to come up with all these different things instead of addressing what the problem is. They don't have enough talent in the room. So I give them credit for finally acknowledging it and trying to go out and get Breece Hall. Cool, that's perfectly fine. I don't know why it was a Breece Hall. Why didn't you call Carolina and try to get Rico Dowdle? Why didn't you call Carolina and try to get Hubbard? Like, that wasn't the only running back that was possibly available.
I don't think Carolina was doing any selling yesterday. I think Carolina has the same record as the Chiefs.
That's fair.
I know we look at Carolina like they're the dregs of the league.
They are 5-4.
They're the same 5-4 you are, and the fact that Panthers didn't have a sell-a-thon yesterday makes me think the Panthers weren't interested in doing any selling. Like, I know we all talked about Breece Hall and the Jets, and I get why. But, like, part of this equation, too, could be there weren't a whole bunch of sellers yesterday. Like, there were the Jets. They sold.
I can't argue that.
The Raiders sold Jacoby Myers. The Raiders are never doing business with the Chiefs, and they're also not giving you your running back because their running back's a top 10 pick. Who are the other teams that were just in sell mode yesterday? The Saints sold a wide receiver. They weren't selling Alvin Kamara, so because they didn't. There weren't a lot of sellers outside of the Jets yesterday, so I don't know that there was this bevy of, hey, we have all these options to pick running back. It felt like it was kind of Breece Hall or bust yesterday, and they busted. And I'm happy the decision they made to not then pursue Breece Hall for a third-round pick, by the way.
Two things. I want to read this text, and then we'll move on. Someone said, C-Dot, why are you sleeping on Clyde Edwards-Helaire? I don't know if that's serious or a joke, but I'm happy to answer it. I don't think that Clyde Edwards-Helaire would be in the National Football League if it wasn't for the Chiefs. I don't think he'd be in the National Football League. I don't know what he would be doing. I think the Chiefs are the only team that would have Clyde Edwards-Helaire around. I don't think he's a capable NFL back at this point. I wouldn't give him carries. I wouldn't give him snaps. I wish him all the best. He played two snaps in the game and went poorly. They aborted that plan almost instantly when they decided to put him in there. Like, they aborted it instantly. When do you think that they gave up on Elijah Mitchell? This is the analogy I'll make. Maybe this has happened to you. Maybe it hasn't. Rob, have you ever been shopping and there was a shirt you really, really liked when you were in the store? And then you got that shirt home and you felt very differently about the shirt. Like, maybe you wore it once and you're just like, I don't know. I don't like the way this feels. I don't like the shirt nearly as much as I thought I was going to like it. I feel like that's what happened with Elijah Mitchell. It's not like they got him on day 19 of free agency. They kind of got him early on in free agency. Like, this was a player that they identified. This was a player that they liked. They liked him. They like him so much, he has never played while the season. Why didn't they cut him? Like, that's what I would love to know from Brett Veach. Because you remember, there were rumblings that they were thinking about trading him at the end of preseason. And that they played him at the end of preseason, kind of like that Carlos Hyde, hoping that somebody, anybody, would possibly take him. Okay, well, that didn't happen. Well, why is he on the 53-man roster then? He's not on the practice squad. Like, Elijah Mitchell was on the 53-man roster. They have just made him inactive. And then when you finally have an injury at running back, you got to assume that somebody gets hurt. It's the National Football League. When an injury finally happens, instead of just activating Elijah Mitchell and just giving him the carries and opportunities, they elevated Clyde Edwards-Helaire from the practice squad, then Elijah Mitchell doesn't have a role on the team. Why is he on the team? Why didn't they just cut Elijah Mitchell from the very, very beginning and just cut their loss? What are they saving him for? Because there was a point that it went from when they were in the store and they were looking, they loved it. And then when they took it back home, they started to hate it. Well, then why don't you take it back? You got the receipt. Just go back in the store, get your money back, get a shirt that you like. Why did they do this with Elijah Mitchell if they had no plan on how to use him?
I'm not saying this was happening, but I'll take your analogy and I'll one-up you analogy. Have you ever been at a restaurant and you ordered food and you're like, oh man, the chicken looks good. And then you order it and you're like, it's not great. It's not cooked improperly. It's not like the chef did anything wrong. It's not like they got your order wrong. It just, I ordered poorly. I made a mistake looking at the menu. Then the waitress comes by and says, everyone happy with their meal? You can't be like, no, take it back, because they didn't do anything wrong.
That's fair.
You messed up. It's possible the Chiefs on tape and in scouting and all these things felt, hey, Elijah Mitchell's going to work. We're going to get Elijah Mitchell. And then you got your food and you're like, it doesn't work. I can't take it back. I can't give it back to the waitress. I have to just eat this mistake. It's on me. That's kind of how I felt with Elijah Mitchell. It looked good on paper. It has not looked good on the field. Or maybe it has looked good on the field. I don't know. No one's seen it, but I'm betting it hasn't looked good on the field if he's never playing.
No, I think that's a very good analogy. They didn't give Elijah Mitchell enough money that you couldn't just admit that you made a mistake and walk away from it. Do you know how much Elijah Mitchell's signing bonus was?
It's like $1 million.
They gave him $250,000 in a signing bonus. And he got $100,000 for showing up to OTAs and the workouts. Now, they gave him $1 million guaranteed, so his base salary. So all in with Elijah Mitchell, all in. They gave him $1.7 million. I don't want to make it seem like that's nothing, but for an NFL team, that's fine. This team still has $10 million against the cap for Joe Tooney, who plays for the Chicago Bears. Like, eating money is part of the National Football League. I don't know why the Chiefs, when at some point in August, they realized they didn't like Elijah Mitchell anymore. I don't know why they didn't just cut their losses. And when teams were wheeling and dealing and letting other running backs go, why didn't they pick up another running back that they actually liked? They had an opportunity to do that, but instead they just got Elijah Mitchell doing what? Running scout team? It doesn't make any sense. Of all the things that they've done, that's by far and away the most confusing thing that's happened. I guess you could argue Christian Fulton was hurt for a while, and I just think he got out of their rotation. I think that Christian Fulton was very much a part of their plan. And in St. Joe, when he couldn't practice, I think other people just took his job. I don't think anybody else took Elijah Mitchell's job away from him.
I mean, Elijah Mitchell and Christian Fulton, they are different, but they are two big puzzlers. And I know we're up against a break. We talked about this earlier when it came to Fesco, and we talked about the Rashee Rice extension. One of the things in Fesco's reporting this morning is that the Chiefs have looked at their expenses. They're kind of going to be up against the cap for next year. So they wanted to keep their third-round picks. They're not going to make big free agent signings. That's fine. Man, one of the reasons why the Chiefs are in the position they're in is that they're a team that doesn't make big free agent signings. You can't miss on two-thirds of them. The three moves they made on day one or two of the NFL free agency period, which is like when it's hot and fast, were Christian Fulton, who can't play, and Elijah Mitchell, who hasn't played. Like, if you're going to allocate very few dollars to free agency, you got to hit in those few dollars you allocate. The Chiefs missed two of their three big free agent signings.
And someone on the text line actually makes a pretty funny analogy. Elijah Mitchell is like the box of cords that you keep in your closet that you don't throw out because one day you might need one of those cords. He's the micro USB cord of running backs. That is a very fair point. I would just argue that they needed that cord on Sunday and they gave that opportunity to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. The natural evolution would have been, hey, we've been making you inactive. Now we have an injury of a guy that can't play. Let's just make you active and play you. But when they made the decision to play Clyde Edwards-Helaire over Elijah Mitchell, when he'd been on the practice squad, they told me how they feel about Elijah Mitchell. He ain't really part of their plans. He's not really on their team. Coming up on the other side, we'll switch to our question about the division on a scale from 1 to 10, with 10 being absolutely fearful. How worried are you about the Chiefs losing the AFC West? We'll talk about it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Rob, did you know right now that Walmart is offering up half off on all their Halloween candy? Did you know that? Are you thinking about after work maybe stopping by your local Walmart location and picking you up some Halloween treats?
I'm not. I've officially made the pivot to Christmas. Trees up in the house. Pumpkin spice lattes in the rearview mirror.
Hold on, I gotta
peppermint time.
We need a challenge flag button. You've already put your Christmas tree up?
Is it November?
Is this you or is this your wife? Because if this was your wife, that would make sense to me.
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Did you put your Christmas tree up before KU's first basketball game? Was it up before then?
Game that counted?
Yeah.
Because the Louisville game definitely happened before the tree went up.
Okay. I'm saying before their first game on the record.
That game against Fort Hays State definitely had transpired before the tree went up.
Okay.
Green Bay might be a different conversation.
Would you put the tree up?
It might have been the Sunday of the Bills game.
Why?
Because it was November 1st.
I didn't know you liked Christmas this much. I thought it was a bit. You put your tree up on November 1st? Have you guys already started watching Christmas movies?
No, we haven't gone full-fledged.
Full-fledged, you already have a tree up. You might as well commit to it now at this point.
First off, the tree's up because the tree's the biggest pain in the ass to get up. The full decorations have not been done. We don't have the lights done
yet.
When
is that coming?
Probably in the next 2 weeks.
I mean, you got a Chiefs bye week. I know it's about to happen. Definitely. On Sunday, you think you're about to be watching Red Zone while the Chiefs aren't playing? Caroline got you up on that ladder, my boy. Mm-hmm. You're about to be putting all kind of trees up.
We got lights. We got pillows. We got decorations.
You watched a Christmas movie. Come on now. You've watched one already.
Not yet. Nope. Christmas movie.
You've steadfast. Already watched Elf.
Nope. Steadfast there. Might happen on Sunday during the bye week, but
having your Christmas tree up on November 5th is real crazy
work. It's not lit yet. It's just up. We haven't decorated
it. It's real crazy work.
Just had to get out of the basement.
Somebody said you had your tree up prior to Election Day.
100%.
That's crazy.
100%.
I didn't know. This is my genuine reaction. I had no clue you already had your Christmas tree up. Do any of you already have your Christmas tree up? 913-586-7965. You already have your Christmas tree up? That means you just got this tree in your house for 60 days?
That's not real. I didn't chop it down.
It's still there.
I didn't head out of the forest with a...
I didn't think you were Paul Bunyan. I didn't think that's what you did.
I went out there with an axe. I was just...
So you're telling me the moment you took your Halloween costume off, you guys just went down in the basement like, it's time.
So it's a one-stop shop. I have to take all the Halloween decorations down. I'm already headed to the basement. I'm right there. I might as well grab the tree, bring it up, set it up. Again, not lit yet. Hasn't been put with ornaments on the whole deal, but I'm already downstairs. I have to haul this thing up the stairs once. Might as well knock it out today.
No, I got you. I mean, people on the text line are saying November 1, Christmas goes up. C-Dot, you got to get on board. Somebody's saying Christmas up already. It's pretty normal. I guess.
Like we're like a 25, 30% of Christmas full up in our house. I would say we also do Christmas in our house bigger than the average person, so.
Yeah, someone on the text line says, guys, I'm leaving Michael's right now with my new tree.
Buying a tree this time of year is, you must be very affluent.
Christmas for me, Christmas starts after the Chiefs and Cowboys game. It is officially Christmas time. Officially Christmas time. Do all the Christmas stuff. Go deck the halls with boughs of holly, go out caroling, go to Christmas in the park, put your lights up. After the final whistle of Cowboys Chiefs, you can go Christmas-a-palooza. We're doing that on November 1st? I thought it was 12 days of Christmas. You got the 52 days of Christmas. That's crazy. That's crazy to me.
I can't believe you think it's crazy. Now, again, we won't be full-fledged.
Okay, all right, let me ask you this, then. We can move on from this. What's too early, then, to put? Because you obviously think that November 1st is not early.
Pre-Halloween.
So what would be too early, then, to put
if
your Christmas
you have not,
so I'm saying is, what would be early where you look at the person like, hey, you've gone too far? Is that like October 22nd? You're looking at that person like something's going on.
If you are have your tree up before trick-or-treaters hit the doorbell, that's too early.
Okay. I got you.
By the way, Sam's Club and Walmart and Target and wherever you shop at those fine establishments, if you were there on Labor Day and you're thinking, I'm going to buy some school supplies, there was already a section of Christmas decorations up and ready to go.
I remember not that long ago we were complaining about the war on Christmas. It really is the war on Thanksgiving. I don't know why we tried so hard.
Thanksgiving doesn't have any decorations or feel. It's just food. And as someone who has to do two Thanksgivings, three. I have three Thanksgivings. You know what you get sick of pretty quick? Turkey.
Okay. All right. Hey.
Done the first one, I'm like, I don't need two more turkey meals, but here we go.
If you guys are happy in the Britton home, that's all that matters. 913-586-7965. Does anybody else have their Christmas tree up? Rob has just informed us that before KU started playing basketball, he already had his tree up.
So on the text line says they get their lights on Halloween night. That's a little bit aggressive for me.
How is it aggressive? That's 12 hours later than you.
You got to get the Halloween decorations down. You got to rip those down.
Yeah, they did in one swoop. That's what they did. In one swoop, they took down the pumpkin and put up the ornaments. Yeah, in one swoop, they ended up doing this. I always feel like when we have these topics, I come off like I'm anti-Christmas. I'm really not anti-Christmas. I just don't know why Christmas needs more than 30 days. That's what I don't know. I don't know why Christmas needs more than 30 days. That's what I don't get.
So you're telling me the fact that right now I'm on a group text with some friends and my wife, and we're discussing what Christmas pop-ups to hit and when.
Oh, you can do that. No, you can do that. That's fair. No, you can do that.
I would call that part of the Christmas season,
though. Yeah, no, but that's fair to me, though, because those, they run out. So if you want to go to certain Christmas pop-ups, if you can't wait till, you know, the 11th of December to plan when you're going to these things. So you got to be doing that right now. Your Christmas tree can absolutely wait until December 11th to go up. It absolutely can. It 100%. You could be sitting there, and I know KU's non-con. They got some dogs in there. Why don't you just wait until, like, November 22nd? Hey, babe, while we're sitting here watching KU pummel on Furman, why don't we just put the tree up during this? But, hey, different strokes for different folks.
I don't know why you're anti the first. There was no Chiefs game until 3:25. I had ample time. I was already taking the pumpkins and all the stuff back down the stairs.
You had Red Zone and Redwoods. That's what you had. That's what you had going
Again,
on. In
the outside lights aren't done yet. We haven't made all the coffee cup switches yet. We haven't done the towels switch yet. We're the precog. We've just started the process.
Someone on the text line says, CDOT, my guy, I had my tree up before Mizzou kicked off against Central Arkansas. When it's fall, it's Christmas. You need help. That's what I'm here to tell you. You need help. You need help. At the beginning of college football season, you started celebrating Christmas. You need help. That's all I got. I don't want to talk about
also,
this.
Also, someone on the text line makes an excellent point. Outside Christmas lights, which are also a new endeavor in my life, but I do them, you want a nice weather day. You don't want to be putting outside lights up in December because you know what it is? Cold. And you know what you need? You need to have your fingers available to tape things up, and you need to be able to put things on the roof and all the things. So you know what? I am very pro getting that. I'll probably get that done on Sunday. Actually, the outside lights on Sunday feels like check, check, and check.
I mean, I don't know if you're going to be in the spirit after watching Darren Peterson shoot 5 for 17 at North Carolina. I don't know if you're going to have a very productive weekend. That's my prediction. I don't know if you're going to be in a good mood.
I don't know why you're hating on the number one overall pick in the draft.
That guy plays at BYU. He doesn't play at KU.
He might play at Arizona, actually.
Let me ask you this question about the Chiefs. On a scale from 1 to 10, so 10 being the most serious, 1 being nothing, how worried are you about the Chiefs losing the AFC West? I'd put my worry right now at a 6. I'd put it at a 6. Slightly above average. I mean, they really got some work to do, and it just feels like, not that it's one of those kind of years for the Broncos in which I think the Broncos are going to win the Super Bowl, but very rarely during this stretch has there been another team in the division that was capable of winning 12 or 13 games. I mean, if that's what we're talking about with the Chiefs, that the Chiefs got to win 12 or 13 games, well, they better get going. You know what I mean? Like, you better get super, super hot. This Broncos team, they won 6 games in a row. They got Vegas coming up tomorrow for Thursday Night Football at home. So I'm just going to guess they make it 7 in a row. They then have 10 days to prepare for the Chiefs. So, I mean, it's not a bye week in the sense that the Chiefs have, but they get 10 days to get ready for the game against Kansas City. If the Broncos end up splitting the games with Kansas City this year, they just really put themselves in a position where they could potentially win the AFC West. So I'm not conceding the division by any means, but right now on a scale from 1 to 10, I'd put it at a 6. I think the Broncos right now should be considered the favorite in the AFC West. The Chiefs haven't beat a lot of good teams this year, and we are at the halfway point of the season, and you're in third place, and you got more work to do than the other teams in the division. The Broncos just have a clear path to winning 12 games than the Chiefs do. So, to me, Denver should be considered the favorite, and they're a slight favorite in Vegas, but they're also the Chiefs, and you got 3 games against the Broncos and the Chargers. If you go 2-1 in those games, and then you can take care of your business elsewhere, you very much put yourself back in line to give yourself a chance to win the division. I'm at a 6. Where are you at?
I believe that me and you see this a little differently, because I think the Chiefs, I'm at like a 7.5, 8. That's kind of how I feel like it shakes out, because I'm looking back at all the division winners, and you scroll through, and there's a lot of red. A lot of red there. But man, the Chiefs didn't win the division convincingly in 2021. Now, remember, in 2021, they started out sluggish. They were 3-4. They had lost at home to the Chargers, so they had a division loss. And then later in the season, they had come on strong. They won the division. You'll remember, they basically iced the division down by going on the road, Thursday Night Football. They then beat the Chargers in L.A. That was their big division comeback. They had a tough stretch, and then they came back and won. It feels like this season like that season, except for there are now 2 competitors in the division. Because as much as we're talking only about the Broncos, and I get why, the Chargers are beat up, the Chargers don't have the team anymore, the Chiefs are looking up at 2 teams in the standings. The Chiefs are 3rd right now in the AFC West and outside the playoff picture. So I am much more concerned than you. I'm a 7.5, maybe an 8, because much like we talked about with the Royals, remember when they were like hovering around, they were close in the playoff race and in the wild card race, and the thought was, hey, you're only 4 back, but you have to jump 3 teams to get in the playoff race? That's kind of what the Chiefs are. Yeah, they're only 2 back, but they got to jump 2 teams to do it in half a season. That's a little bit of a tall order. Not an impossible order. I think the Chiefs still can do it, but I'm at a 7.5 and an 8 that they won't win this division.
The Chiefs have 3 games between now and December 7th. So 3 games left in the month. It's probably a better way to put it. What do you think their record is? They're currently 5-4. They have a bye week. Historically, they have been very good after a bye. And I would say if you were still picking them to win the division, they really got to get going after that. They play Denver, Indianapolis. I mean, this stretch here, this is a difficult stretch. They play the 3 other best teams in the AFC opposite of them. Maybe you would argue New England is one of those teams, but you go on the road and play Buffalo. You've already lost that game. You go on the road and play the Broncos. Well, the Broncos have been very good this season, but we can acknowledge that the Broncos have been a team that a lot of those coin flip games that Kansas City won last year, it feels like Denver is now winning those coin flip kind of games this season. Like the luck has just shifted to somebody else at the table. They also got a home game against Indianapolis that honestly, I don't really know what to make of that game. I think Indianapolis is good. Well, they finally played one of the better teams in the AFC and they just couldn't stop turning the ball over. But I also don't think that's a formula you can expect to replicate on a game in, game out basis. If this team can get past November, there is a stretch that they can really get going. They got Houston at home. They got the Chargers at home. We're talking about the Chargers at home in the middle of December. I like this Chargers team. I will take my chances with Kansas City in cold weather against the Chargers. I'll just take my chances. You got on the road against Tennessee. If it is week 16 and the Chiefs are in trouble on the road against Tennessee, we got way bigger problems than if they're going to win their division or not. They then got a home game against Denver on Christmas Day that is now looking like it could be the most important game this season in the AFC, aside from when the Bills play the Patriots again. And then you go on the road to play Vegas at the end of the season. That game might end up meaning something. It might end up meaning nothing. And it is just, we don't know what to happen. But if the Chiefs can figure out a way to navigate these next 3 weeks, on the road against Denver, home against Indy, I don't think much of Dallas, but it's Thanksgiving. It's on the road. Their offense, weird things just happen in the National Football League. If they can figure out a way to get out of this month 7-5, for example, and just lose one of these three games, they really got a chance to win out and finish the season 12-5, which gives you a chance to either win the division or probably split it with Denver or maybe Los Angeles.
So I don't disagree with your sentiment, but here's my question. They got to navigate and win some games here. They got to get to 7-5 by the end of the month. That 7-5 cannot include a loss to the Broncos. It just can't. Like, for your example, because I don't think 7-5 as a record is a death sentence. That would mean the Chiefs go 2-1 in their next three games. More likely than not, I think that's what will happen. They got Denver, they got Indianapolis, they got Dallas, as you just laid out. If they go 2-1 that stretch and the one is at Denver, and now they're 7-5 at the end of November, and it's Christmas time for some people, I guess, and it's December, and you're 7-5, but you're 1-2 in the division, you're not winning the division. You're just not. Like, you're in too bad of a spot. You are in too tough of a hill to climb with a month left in the season. So, and you don't get the automatic Raiders win, the second one in your division, until the final week of the season. So I think you're right. If you're 7-5 on December 1st, you're not dead. But if you're 7-5 on December 1st and that one loss in November comes at the expense of the Broncos,
for sure,
you're in real, real trouble. That's why I have my worry a little bit higher, because I know the Chiefs are great off a bye and the Chiefs are great against the Broncos and all those things. Man, the Broncos are going to have a mini bye after playing the Raiders tomorrow night. And the Broncos gave the Chiefs everything they wanted and more last season in their one real appearance. Like, that game is real, real coin flippy. So if you go 7-5 with the Broncos loss, I don't know how you can win the division.
Yeah, I also think, at least when talking about this, because I'm seeing a lot of people that are saying it doesn't really matter if the Chiefs win the division or not. I guess why I would argue it matters a little bit in the context of this conversation is, if the Chiefs don't win the division, it means that they have already lost to a team they're probably going to have to go on the road in the playoffs and beat. Just based on how their schedule
maybe two of them, honestly. Yeah,
just based on how their schedule has broken out this year, where they played mostly all the good teams in the AFC. And so far, I mean, they haven't beaten any of those good teams that they've played so far in the AFC. Now, that's going to happen sometime. But, I mean, if the Chiefs end up as the sixth seed and they have to go on the road, they're likely going on the road to a team they lost to in the regular season. They're going on the road to Buffalo. They're going on the road maybe to Indianapolis. Let's see how that game goes. Maybe they get a rematch in the division. They go on the road and play the Denver Broncos. So not that they can't win that game. Certainly not arguing that. And we've seen them go on the road and win postseason games. But, I mean, one of the advantages that Kansas City has had over the last 5 to 7 years or so is, A, they have been able to skip a game in the playoffs, so you can't get upset in the wild card round if you don't play in the wild card round. And they have had usually a good path in the second round where they play a team that just they're clearly better than that team. Like, how many times have they been the one seed? They then play the four seed in the second half. They got Jacksonville coming into town. They got Houston coming into town. It's like, all right, they're better than this team. They're clearly better than them. And then you get the advantage of Buffalo and Baltimore play each other in that second round. And now you only got to beat one of those teams as opposed to both of those teams. Now, yes, they won one Super Bowl that way, but I wouldn't say that that's the best path to keep going back to the Super Bowl year after year if you got to try to beat two of those teams every single year.
I would agree. And I know, I feel like, in a lot of ways, the Chiefs have kind of broken fans' brain in a good way. The Chiefs in, I believe it was 2023, went on the road twice, maybe in 2022, went on the road twice, won the AFC, and then won the Super Bowl. And it was an incredible run. And that's not really the norm in the NFL. Like, winning multiple road playoff games is an outlier. It doesn't happen every year. And even that year they won multiple road playoff games en route to Super Bowl, they got to play the Dolphins in that horrible frigid game at home at Arrowhead. So they still got a home game in the division that year. If you're in the divisional round taking on, I don't know, let's just say they take on the Patriots in round one, then the Broncos, then the Bills, or in some order, man, that is a really tough, tough uphill battle. And the NFL is just not designed for you to go 3-0 on the road in the playoffs. That's why it happens so infrequently. So if you don't win the division, you put yourself at a massive disadvantage. And I know Chiefs fans have seen the Chiefs do it once. It just, it's not done all that often in the league.
I also think this, and I mean, I understand the philosophy behind it, but I also kind of feel like if you're on the side of that Josh Allen is eventually going to get one, which I imagine a lot of people are. Like, if I set the over-under on a half Super Bowl, do you think Josh Allen gets there? Well, if Josh Allen gets there, then at some point it comes at the expense of Kansas City getting there. So I don't think, and I don't think when we're having these conversations, the feeling can be, well, I think Josh Allen eventually gets one, but he never beats Patrick Mahomes in the postseason. Well, then he never gets one then. You can't have both sides of that opinion, because you got to beat Kansas City at some point in the postseason to get to where you ultimately think you're going to be. So if you think Josh Allen just never goes to a Super Bowl, that's perfectly fine. Most people think eventually he will get there. If I'm guessing he eventually gets there, it is going to be because they host the AFC Championship game. That's what I'm just going to guess. And right now they're the favorite to be the one seed. So are the Chiefs a team, based on how they've played so far, that you think could possibly, if they don't win their division in this conversation, how worried are you about winning it? Could they be the five seed? You then go on the road and play Baltimore, who could end up winning the AFC North. You then maybe have to go on the road and play Indianapolis or Baltimore or Buffalo, and then you got to go on the road and play Indianapolis. That's just a tough stretch of games to try to win those three games, especially right now for a team that has really not shown you that they can beat good teams. They beat one good team at home so far this year, and they have lost close games to every other good team that they played so far. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the hits. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Rob, I will say this, because we've been talking about the trade deadline, and we'll talk more about it coming up at the top of the hour. I am kind of surprised that they didn't go get
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Colin Saunders. Maybe they would have got him if he was just outright released, but if they were looking for a defensive lineman that they could easily kind of plug and play, that just made all the sense. I know we know how things played himself out, but if Mike Pinnell hadn't been released, do you think they would have made a trade to go get somebody on the defensive line? Because you and I thought this when it happened. Hey, Mike Pinnell is going to be one of their answers at the defensive line. Like, it has made all the sense in the world. He was available. He didn't have to go through waivers. If you wanted him, you could just go get him. They got him. He was on the team in less than 24 hours. I would have thought if they needed a little bit more push when talking about the defensive line, I'm shocked they didn't go get a guy who they know very well, knows the system, and just would have been a nothing acquisition cost. I am a little bit surprised that the trade deadline is coming on and they didn't go get Colin Saunders.
I wonder, because we look around the league, and I'm using the results to my point here, I wonder how much, if any, of a D-tackle market actually existed out there. Because outside of, I mean, I guess Pinnell wasn't a move. Outside of Quinnen Williams, who is just a different beast, there weren't a lot of D-tackle moves. Like, I guess Mozzie Smith was part of that deal, yeah. But that you're not getting Mozzie Smith unless you're, you know, getting a Quinnen Williams type of move. So Saunders on the Jags. The Jags are in the playoffs right now. Maybe they're not in the mood to give you a player when you're competing with them for a playoff spot. Like, I wonder how much, if any, of a D-tackle market even existed, because not a lot of them were moved outside of the creme de la creme at the top.
I mean, maybe it's just an injury issue. I mean, Colin Saunders, at least for Jacksonville, I mean, he hasn't played since week one. He played in the first game of the season. He had two tackles, and that's kind of been it. So maybe that's what it was. Maybe the Chiefs made a phone call to try to figure out if he was healthy or not. Maybe he's not healthy. Maybe they didn't want. You're right. Like, there weren't a whole lot of defensive linemen that changed hands over the course of the last couple of days. It just felt like something they'd potentially be interested in. I think there's a chance that the Chiefs look at the waiver wire. You got to remember, I mean, that's how they got Mike Pinnell. Like, it wasn't like they signed Mike Pinnell originally in free agency. They didn't trade a draft pick for him. Mike Pinnell, they just claimed off waivers. Last year, how they got DJ Humphries. I know he ended up getting hurt, but they just claimed DJ Humphries off waivers. So I do wonder if over the next couple of weeks, as just, you know, injuries happen, football happens, we know there's going to be a couple of players that get let go between now and, let's say, December 1st. I wonder if the Chiefs are just interested in trying to pick up a big body that way. I understand that they took the swing at Breece Hall. Maybe that was the only player that they were interested in on the offensive side of the ball. But that wasn't the only perceived need that they had. And maybe there was a defensive lineman that you could have got at a little acquisition cost. And obviously, the Chiefs just didn't think it was worth it. They haven't really been linked to any other player other than Breece Hall. There's been a little bit of Breece Hall rumblings. And I do believe that the Chiefs made a phone call to see if Breece Hall was available. Maybe they threw something out there trying to get the Jets to engage a little bit. Have you seen them linked to any defensive player over the last 48 hours or so?
I mean, I guess Nate was on with Cody and Gold yesterday and said that, you know, if Bradley Chubb was cheaper, that's a name they could be interested in. But obviously Bradley Chubb didn't move and he's not going to get cheaper. So it felt like they were kind of in, I don't want to say running back or bust, but they were kind of in Breece Hall or bust territory. And I wonder how much that's because just the defensive market for what they need, defensive line was, just didn't exist. Like, a lot of the names we got in the text line over the last couple weeks. So what about Calais Campbell? What about this guy? What about that guy?
You didn't hear any rumblings about those players.
Not only hear rumblings, none of those guys moved. Like, any name that you threw out in the text line, and you're like, oh, I think the Chiefs should pursue something.
The only one that moved was Jalen Phillips.
Correct. And we both agree that the acquisition cost was probably too high for the Chiefs are going to do. So none of those guys really moved at all. So I think the Chiefs were kind of just stuck. Maybe that's why they got so excited with Breece Hall, is that they called people about D-tackle and got told, okay, no, throughout the course of the day.
Do you think they would have got Jalen Phillips if he was there for a fourth round pick? So let's say the same pick that they offered for Breece Hall. Let's say if Jalen Phillips would have been available with that, do you think the Chiefs pull the trigger? Do you think they make that trade?
100% think so. They would have used one of the bonus fourth round picks they have. I don't know which one's earlier, the Tooney one or the Chiefs one. Doesn't really matter. They would use one of their fourth round picks to go get Jalen Phillips. That was the cost. I think they know over at, was it One Arrowhead Drive? I think they know over there that pass rush is a major concern. I mean, Chris Jones basically said it after the game on Sunday. We got to win our one-on-ones. We're not winning one-on-ones. Well, yeah, Josh Allen could have a picnic back there before he picked you apart. Like, that is not a winning formula in the postseason or in any game. So I think the Chiefs know. It just, the acquisition cost was far too high. But if it was a fourth, I think Jalen Phillips would be a Chief right now.
I want to play this audio for you guys very quickly before we get to the hits coming up at the top of the hour. Rob, did you read the Goosebumps books when you were a kid?
I did.
Okay, so you read a little Say Cheese or Die back in the day. So R.L. Stein is making a new book. He's the author of the Goosebumps series. He went on the CBS Morning Show. I want to play for you something that he said.
Adults. They're a horrible audience. Why would anyone want to write for adults? They're a horrible audience.
Yeah.
My audience, the 7 to 12, that's the best audience.
Why?
I get them the last time in their lives they'll ever be enthusiastic. It's the absolute truth.
Yeah.
7 to 11, they want to know you. They want to read you. They want to buy stuff. They want to talk to you. They're there. They're a great audience. They turn 12. They discover sex. They have to be cool. They're gone.
Rob, as I was listening to this, and he talked about adults being a terrible audience, do we suck? Like, as adults, are we just not fun people? Because R.L. Stein, who has been a staple in a majority of our lives, who didn't read Goosebumps when you were 8, 9 years old? These were great, fantastic stories. He basically said, we suck. Why would he want to make anything for us? Is this true?
I mean, I'm not an avid
reader. You and I make content for adults all the time. I don't think they suck.
I also think it's different. I'm not an avid reader. If I was a writer, I might feel different. Like, what's the best adult novel series? Like, I don't know. Maybe there's an obvious one I'm just missing it. Harry Potter is for kids. R.L. Stein books are for kids. All those, like, Hunger Games books are, like, maybe teenagers. Like, where are the books
targeted toward adults. I mean, maybe he's right. He knows the author sphere way better than I do.
Well, that kind of stinks because basically he's saying once you reach a certain age, you just stop having an imagination. Yep. That's what he said.
That's what he, that's 100%
he was like,
what he
when
said.
You're 7 to 11, you have an imagination, you're creative. And then when you get 12 or 13, that just ceases. You just don't have one anymore. That doesn't sound fun. RL, I need a little bit more optimism. I didn't hear any of it from you. I mean, good luck to you, whatever you're doing. Again, you're a staple in all of our lives, but I just don't think we're this bad. I just don't think we are. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the hits. We'll get back to the top story of the day. The Chiefs didn't get Breece Hall. I'm cool with it, and we're starting to find out more and more why. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.